news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump's flash of fascism on Thursday, in which he suggested the possibility of delaying the 2020 presidential election due to the coronavirus pandemic, was roundly excoriated by allies and opponents alike. And on Friday morning, the usually Trump-supportive Wall Street Journal editorial page made its position clear from the very first words. Quote, "Delaying the November 3rd elections is a dreadful idea. Only an act of Congress can change the date, established in 1845, and there is no chance it will do so now. Lincoln ran for re-election amid the destruction and displacement of the Civil War." The editorial then goes on to raise several concerns about the country's ability to conduct an election during a pandemic, when so many more people will be trying to vote by mail, and when it's unlikely that the results of the election will be known on the same day that it occurs. They continued, quote, "This is not to suggest that the November election will be rigged, as Mr. Trump asserts. If he believes that, he should reconsider his participation and let someone run who isn't looking for an excuse to blame for defeat." Wow. Many of us believe that Trump's outrageous suggestion was merely another ploy to distract the media from the big economic news of the day, that the U.S. economy crashed by a record-shattering 32.9% annual rate last quarter, the biggest drop ever recorded in history. The distraction ploy might have succeeded slightly, but the front pages of the Friday New York Times and Washington Post both feature huge bikini charts showing, by far, the biggest GDP drop in history. From the Here We Go Again files, St. Louis County's top prosecutor announced on Thursday that they will not charge the former police officer who fatally shot Michael Brown. A bad decision that could rip open old wounds amid a renewed and intense national reckoning about racial injustice and police brutality against people of color. It's been nearly 6 years since a grand jury declined to indict Darren Wilson, the white cop who shot Brown, a black 18-year-old. Civil rights leaders and Brown's mother had urged Wesley Bell, the county's first black prosecutor, to reopen the case after he took office in January 2019. Meanwhile, in Portland, amid reports that the DHS was removing its mercenary force from the downtown area, Oregon police have now taken over protecting a federal courthouse in the city that's been a target of protests for more than 2 months. Reportedly, having state and local officers step up their presence was part of a deal between the Democratic governor of Oregon and the Trump administration that aimed to draw down the number of U.S. agents during nightly confrontations. But the unidentified alleged federal law enforcement agents have not left Portland. They're still there, waiting to pounce, to agitate peaceful protesters. And their reach is expanding. Activists say they're preparing to greet federal agents coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico, with civil disobedience and peaceful protests. Members of a coalition organized by the Albuquerque Center for Peace and Justice vowed to resist any Portland-style occupation of the city and any efforts to increase aggressive policing. Over on Capitol Hill, it's the return of Dr. Anthony Fauci on Friday, who's testifying before the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis. Joining him, a CDC head, Dr. Robert Redfield, and Health and Human Services testing czar, Admiral Brett Kirar. Fauci plans to reiterate that there's no end in sight to the coronavirus pandemic, saying, quote, "While it remains unclear how long the pandemic will last, COVID-19 activity will likely continue for some time." At a time when early progress seems to have been lost and uncertainty clouds the nation's path forward, Fauci is calling on lawmakers and all other Americans to go back to public health basics, such as social distancing and wearing masks. In other news, here's a biggie. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit agreed on Thursday to reconsider the decision to dismiss the criminal case against Trump's former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Flynn, the retired Army Lieutenant General, pleaded guilty in 2017 to lying to FBI agents about his contacts with Russia's ambassador shortly before Trump's inauguration. He later tried to undo the plea deal, and Attorney General William Barr decided to just drop the prosecution. But the trial judge, Emmett Sullivan, ordered a review by a retired federal judge who argued that Barr's intervention was improper and Flynn should be sentenced. A split three-judge appeals panel ruled in June that Sullivan should dismiss the case, but still he persisted. And the full appeals court vacated that ruling, and the full appeals court will rehear the case, as it should. And Michael Cohen, Trump's former personal lawyer and fixer, has reached a deal allowing him to write his tell-all book about his time as Trump's lawyer. The agreement also permits Cohen to speak to the media while serving his 3-year prison term under home confinement. The deal comes a week after a federal judge ruled that the government improperly sent Cohen back to prison after his release on medical furlough to retaliate against him for his plan to publish the book, which Cohen has said includes, quote, graphic and unflattering accounts of Trump's behavior. Cohen last year pleaded guilty to charges that include lying to Congress and making secret payments to women who claim to have had affairs with Trump, which, of course, Trump denies. And finally, another stunning op-ed in the New York Times. This one written by the co-founder of the Conservative Federalist Society, who proclaimed that Donald Trump's tweet suggesting a delay in November's presidential election is grounds for impeachment. The co-founder we're talking about is Stephen Calabresi. He is a Northwestern University law professor who has defended Trump numerous times in the past few years. He wrote, quote, I am frankly appalled by the president's recent tweet seeking to postpone the November election. Until recently, I had taken as political hyperbole the Democrats' assertion that President Trump is a fascist. But this latest tweet is fascistic and is itself grounds for the president's immediate impeachment again by the House of Representatives and his removal from office by the Senate. End quote. This is obviously a significant break from the co-founder of one of the most influential groups in Republican politics. Sounds like another crack in Trump's wall to me. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.